All right. Are we recording?
Yes,
or are we being quiet?
No, we're
recording. Do we have to do the quiet thing?
I wish we would, but with you,
you know what,
with
Alan,
you people, it's just not going to happen. So
suck it up, Alan.
Who say you people?
That's right. Alan is calling us from underwater, from the bottom of Lake Houston.
Oh no! Aw.
Oh, hello. It's Jeanette from.
It's not that bad.
It's not that bad where you are, but yes. It's that bad.
50 well, inches of rain is no fucking joke.
Yeah, it's yeah. It, people are.
Was it more than 50 to cross? Like how many inches of rain?
Last I heard, it was 51. From they do it by the storm, so it's.
Is it still raining there?
No. But they for the like the record they do it by the storm, and it did set a set a U.S. record for the rainfall from a tropical system.
Wow.
U.S. tropical rainfall record. Da, da, da.
How many gallons of water is that?
It's a lot.
Like that is literally like probably a large lake,
yeah.
Just in the sky, deciding it doesn't want to be in the sky.
Oh, shut up, you stupid autoplay. Yeah, I've seen, you know, 48, 49, 50, 51 inches. It depends on, you know, who you are and where you read, but basically it's over 4 feet of rain.
In how many days?
In, well, from like Friday through Tuesday.
Hmm. I'm so sorry.
So, and a lot of people were, you know, there's a lot of like Monday morning quarterbacking. Oh, Houston, they screwed up. They needed, you know, this is what happens when you don't have, you know, zoning laws and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm sorry, you dump 4 feet of rain on any city anywhere and look at what happens. This has nothing to do with Houston being on a swamp.
You might be able to get away with it in Seattle. I bet Seattle actually that would roll right off its back like a duck. It'd probably fuck up a whole lot of people's basements.
But, yeah, I don't know, but
I mean, Seattle. I mean, like Seattle or like San Francisco, where it's like practically like the peak of a hill and just all the streets. If you set a marble down on any street in Seattle or San Francisco, the marble's going to break the sound barrier before it hits the bay.
Right.
Well, Alan, you said that the other record was what, in Hawaii?
Well, I'm not sure. There was they talk about breaking the lower 48, so to speak, rainfall. There was I think it was like over 52 inches of rain a long time ago in Hawaii. So that's like the worst. I think they probably have like monsoon rains in, you know, Asia and India that maybe dump more water.
I don't know.
But at least for North America, this is the record-setting rainfall from a tropical storm.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, you know.
Did you get the t-shirt?
I don't know. They should, you know, I survived.
Harvey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. So do we want to talk about the hurricane first? I guess we're already talking about it.
Hurricane?
We're talking about it.
Was it in Hartford, Hampshire, and someplace else? Our hurricanes hardly ever happen. I'm going to rewrite it. Yeah, it's going to be in Hardin, Humble, and Houston. Hurricanes hardly ever happen.
Except Jesus Christ. I'm watching somebody with a severely like lifted Cadillac Escalade pulling out a military personnel carrier.
Oh yeah,
that's
the redneck.
The best thing.
Yeah, I like the fact that it's an Escalade.
Oh yeah,
and it's one of the old shitty Escalades.
and
why would somebody put that up on big?
Because they can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, there's like a rule 34 for jacked up vehicles. If a car body exists, somebody has put it on a jacked up four wheel drive.
I've ridden around in a 65 and a half Mustang convertible that had 46 inch tires on it.
Yeah.
It was pretty kick ass.
I've seen all kinds of stuff. There's been,
okay.
I mean, you name it. People have put it up on giant wheels.
I've seen a DeLorean.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucked up. Like, cause I don't even, if they were smart, let me see if I can find that. If they were smart, they would put a skid plate underneath it and put the engine down below where the frunk would be, because fuck the DeLorean. The engine bay on that thing is a piece of shit.
Yeah. So, I've never been in a natural disaster before. This is my first one.
Oh, really? Being in Texas and all?
Yep.
Okay. What about the other hurricanes?
I wasn't here for them. The last hurricane that hit this area was Ike in 2008. I moved to Houston in 2009. So
how is it? Is it weird?
It is weird. It's weird for two reasons. One, I got, you know, I'm kind of a homebody anyway, but even I got cabin fever.
I think that's like an understatement.
Having to stay in the house and not be really able to go anywhere because of the torrential downfall and the flooding and everything else. You know, it's a disaster. I mean, there's lots of dumbasses going out driving around looking at the flood, and then, you know, they become the flood because they drive into high water.
For, you know, just to give people a picture of where you are,
mm-hmm.
you are outside of the flood.
Right. So well,
you never had water coming into your house.
No.
And your vehicle is okay.
Yep.
And your street stayed clean, like not flooded.
Right.
Right.
Well, there was, I would call storm flooding in the street where the.
Right. Because of so much water.
Right.
But
the storm drains mostly handled it. And the drainage ditches in my immediate area never overflowed. So
in your estimation, like how far was the flood away from where you live?
The closest flooding was about 2 miles away in Cypress Creek. And it flooded.
Ironically named.
It flooded big time.
Yeah. Being near a creek and all.
Right.
Yeah.
By the way, for those who are curious, I'm looking at photos of this guy that built the DeLorean monster truck. And I'm seeing a big old rear differential and a drive shaft. So yeah, he converted it to front engine. So there you go, Brady. You can breathe easy now.
Okay.
I know you were concerned.
So the place where I work is flooded. They told me that, you know, I work from home, but if I had an office to go to, this would be it. And they said they're shut down for the, you know, unforeseen future. I expect they've got a lot of work to do. Yeah, they're gonna have to gut the place and at least the first floor. And
I just watched a video of a guy rescuing people in Houston, and like they pulled up to this woman's house and she was just heard the boats go by and came out. She's like, "Well, I mean, if they just get the power on, I'll be okay." And they're like, "I mean, there's like, you know, her driveway's got like 4.5 feet of water in it."
Oh, yeah.
Like that, the power's not coming on for another couple weeks, ma'am. You gotta get out of here.
Yeah, they can't turn the power back on until the flood subsides.
Nope, you don't want to do that.
But although I did see some videos of some of the flooding, and the water was well up to the top of the first floor, mm-hmm. and some of the houses still had lights on.
Oh wow!
Which was pretty amazing. And then they passed one that like burned down.
Yeah. I came to my, a few years ago, I mean, I think we only got 14, 15 inches of rain one year, and it was in like the course of a week. And oh yeah, no, that was like an Armageddon here. So I can't even imagine Houston. Yeah,
imagine but, four. It was surreal because the rain like never stopped.
Yeah.
You know, it started, you know, the hurricane was bad enough, but the center of the hurricane was like 200 miles away from Houston. To the south. It hit, Rockport, and pretty much demolished most of Rockport. Corpus Christi was to the south, and Corpus Christi didn't really get hit that hard, except for, you know, like storm surge and stuff like that. But because Houston was to the north of the hurricane, we got all the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know, Friday night, it started raining, and it literally didn't stop until like Tuesday. It just rained and rained and rained and rained and rained. It was a little apocalyptic. And then you see these stories of people that, you know, the governor before, like last week, the governor was like, yeah, you should probably think about evacuating. And then the mayor of Houston was like, no, stay where you are. We can't evacuate.
That was an interesting, kind of fight, because I think on the city level, they're like, oh, no, the governor is really overreacting to this whole thing. And we shouldn't evacuate, and it's going to be fine. Meanwhile.
Yeah, their story now is they didn't want to repeat of Rita. And Rita, really screwed up, because it wasn't that bad of a hurricane, but they ordered an evacuation of Houston, and the feeder highways that feed Houston cannot handle 4 or 5 million people trying to leave at the same time. Sure. So there were literally more people died in cars on the highways than were affected by Rita. So that's part of their reasoning, but a lot of their reasoning is just political. You know, they have this idea, and you hear people like, oh, you can't evacuate 6 million people. And there are actually, I've seen lots of people that are actually quoted saying basically that evacuations are racist. Because poor people can't evacuate. Therefore, no one should be allowed to evacuate.
Right. However,
have you noticed that everything is poor racist?
Poor people can evacuate.
Yeah, of course they can.
The government entities kind of like mobilize in time for them to evacuate.
Well, they've got a shitload of buses.
Right.
It takes planning. I mean, Houston floods all the time. I mean, I've lived here for what? 9 years, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Houston has flooded almost every year, because right. that's but what Houston
not,
does.
Not to this level.
Not to this level, but right. the same places flood every year. And it wouldn't have taken. Now, if you look at the rescues and stuff like that, they came from the same places that flood every time. Plus another, 5 or 6 feet.
Right.
So it wouldn't have been any big deal to say, hey, if your house floods, get out now while you still can. If your house doesn't flood, you're probably all right. You know, you don't have to evacuate 6 million people. You only have to evacuate the 100,000 or so that are, you know, the most vulnerable to it. And you know, you see that picture of the nursing home with all the old people sitting in water.
Oh my God.
Which is what a nightmare. It's just horrifying, but there's no excuse. That's the kind of place you go in with the bus that's probably sitting right outside the home anyway.
Right.
And you say, all right, let's go. We're driving to a shelter.
You know,
and the problem is that this shouldn't be a shock or a surprise to anybody in Houston, because Houston always floods. If you don't have a plan to take care of the vulnerable people in a flood, that's just, you're just fucking up. You're not, you know, you're not doing your, what do you call it? Your due diligence. You're not doing your job. Get off my soapbox now. So anyway, the water is receding. I made it, I went to HEB this evening.
Yay!
The poor HEB, I felt so sorry for them. They're trying so hard. I don't know if you're not in South Texas, you probably don't know what HEB is, but it's a grocery store chain that
is HEB is the best grocery store.
It is literally the best grocery store on the planet. It's headquartered out of San Antonio. It is the best grocery store. They have fleets of disaster trucks. They have big 18-wheelers with mobile kitchens and bathrooms and showers and all kinds of stuff. And they were literally rolling those things through before the wind died down in Rockport. Mm-hmm. And they rolled them into Rockport and started setting up. And then they got everybody taken care of there, and they rolled them into Houston. So I went to HEB, and it was open. It doesn't look like it actually flooded. So it was built up. It's right on the edge of Cypress Creek, but it's high enough up that it didn't flood, but it was the saddest I've ever seen the HEB, because usually they have these magnificent produce sections with the, you know, like three or four aisles of, you know, fantastic produce of everything you could possibly want. And it was like almost empty. There was,
and the meat, you sent me a picture of the meat.
The meat section was almost empty. There was no seafood at all. Completely gone. And, I mean, clearly they prioritized certain things. There was plenty of milk, plenty of eggs, plenty of bread, plenty of, you know, cereal, I guess. I don't know. So
did you get the Pop-Tarts?
I did not. I'm not a Pop-Tart eater.
But I bet
they had. Wait, I don't get that line. Why would anybody want Pop-Tarts?
That's a thing.
Well, they always make jokes about up north where if there's a snowstorm, you got to get all the stuff for French toast.
Yes.
Plus toilet paper.
Right.
Though because again, in Maine, whenever there's a big snowstorm coming, there's always an old lady buying there's a 1 gallon pot of B&M baked beans. That was always.
Nice.
Don't visit her house.
Yeah. But, so they had. Ahead,
she probably used it once. If you eat enough beans, it actually gets it stops being a problem.
Okay.
Like, especially if you eat enough that the giant pot of B&M baked beans.
So apparently,
I don't know if they still make them.
Apparently, Pop-Tarts are the beans of the South. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
Pop-Tarts are the hurricane food, I guess.
Yep. So yeah, the ice cream was pretty low. Frozen pizza aisle was pretty empty. So, I mean, you could see that the store had been picked clean and basically reprovisioned with the important stuff. They had plenty of water and stuff like that. But they were like so many, they had like full staffing. All the employees were there. Everybody was friendly. They were, you know, they did their typical whoosh through checkout. You know, you go to a lot of stores, you go to like Walmart or Target or something like that, and the store is full, and they're running two checkout lines, and you got to stand in line for an hour. HEB is not like that. They got like 47 checkout lanes, and there's somebody at every single one of them, and they whoosh you through. And then on your way out, they got a big old pile of ice, and they got a lady saying, free ice, do you need a bag of ice? Free ice. So,
aww, yeah, that's good.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. So. Anyway, I was very happy to get out of the house and go shopping today. The cats were happy too, because I was almost out of cat treats.
So have you seen any of the rescue efforts and all that?
No, actually, because I don't live near any of that, and I don't live near anything that really flooded. I did take a drive around yesterday, or was it yesterday or the day before? I guess it was yesterday. Took a drive around and saw the nearest flooding. They, of course, they had it barricaded off and had, you know, cops standing around and stuff like that. So, I don't even think I could have gotten downtown to see any of that flooding because it's like, you know, 30 miles away and, you know, plus you don't go into a disaster area just to rubberneck and look.
No.
You know, that's not cool.
That's what the internet is for.
Yeah. So Brita had a great idea. We want to talk about some of our favorite.
I was trying to segue into that.
Good.
You wrecked it. Oh. Done fucked it up.
All right. Well, segues are dumb anyway. You look like an idiot riding them.
That is true. Especially since, again, what's the point of it? It's one of those, like, just put a caster wheel in the front of it and you don't need like all these crazy gyroscopically stabilized bullshit.
You need to turn in your geek card.
If you need to turn in my like overly complicated ideas, like, why don't you just build a fucking hoverboard at this point?
I'm sure somebody's working on it.
They are working on it, but they've come up with one that only goes on like special floors and it's like,
yeah,
turns it really hot as it goes by.
So anyway, we're going to talk about our favorite happy stories.
You want to lead this off, Brita?
No.
Okay.
Although the swimming cat was pretty awesome.
The swimming cat is pretty awesome, but okay. I have to put like a disclaimer out there is I'm having a hard time with the whole animal issue. You know, animals. God, the fucking news. Like, they put every stranded cow and every, you know, abandoned dog and every swimming cat, they put it up. And of course, like, ugh, you know, I like animals more than like people. So,
right.
You know,
tougher because a person standing there in their like flooded house, you got to wonder on the, you know, I mentioned the, you know, an old woman who was sitting in her flooded out house going, oh, maybe they'll just turn the power on. You know, that maybe she's a little daffy and just not realizing that, oh, no, you're fucked, lady. You got to get out of there.
Yeah.
But at least there was some reasoning. She had her reasons for being there. Right. The animal's just suddenly one of those, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah. It just breaks my heart. And I've been having a really hard time all week watching these stories. So, no, I don't want to lead off with this. So you go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say I just watched just before he just came up with it on the show. I knew it was going to happen. I was going to talk about it no matter what, but he just came up with the video of it. But Dr. Matt Carricker of Demolition Ranch, Off the Ranch, and Vet Ranch, he and a buddy were planning to go camping this weekend. Mm-hmm. And so his buddy was coming down and they were going to go camping and they just went, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go down to Houston and help. He evidently was in contact with a friend of his who was doing some of the rescue stuff. And he called him up and said, hey man, you know, do you need help or is it pretty much all set? And he goes, no man, we're pretty busy. So if you want to come down and help us, we could use the help. And so he's got his YouTube channel. And so he did a whole vlog on the whole, his whole traveling down there, but they brought two jet skis and they had another friend that had like a, I don't know, it was like a Boston Whaler style boat. And they went down there and they were, yeah, helping people out. They were ferrying people around. They were delivering supplies. They brought a ton of supplies down. And, the two cool things about it was number one, they found like there was like a, they stopped at a parking lot that essentially would turn into a marina because it was on a road with a slope. And so that was a good place to launch the boats. And so there were just all these trucks with trailers. It was a marina. And then he said at the very, very end, he said, if we hadn't been there, all the work that we had done would have been done by somebody else because there were just so many people there just helping.
That's awesome.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah. So it's pretty good. But I mean, it speaks a lot about Texas and just.
And people.
And people.
You see that. You know, I remember after 9/11, it was like the entire country wanted to do something. to help. And Mike and I, we went to the, you know, the warehouse club and we bought a bunch of stuff and we put it in our car and there was like a line that you would drive to and they were having like a collection thing, but there was like, it was like a mile of cars where people had stuff they wanted to donate or like, you know what I mean? And they were doing a collection of stuff to donate to, you know, the animals and the people and, you know, whatever cause that there was, but it was like, and I thought to myself, I was like, this is just Cleveland. I mean, the entire country is doing that.
No, and that's true. Go ahead, Bria. Sorry.
And I think that like it takes an event like this hurricane in Houston to remind people that this is what we are. You know, I mean, I watched multiple news sources. You know, they post pictures of like the heroes of Harvey and people helping people and Texan heroes and it's like you see a multitude of skin colors. And you see a black guy helping an old white guy. And you see a black guy carrying out two small white children. And it's like nobody, at that point, nobody cares. And this is what we are. And it's so shocking in contrast to what is going on in the news, you know, with this Antifa thing and the neo-Nazi thing and whatever else they have orchestrated. Because I really feel that this is like an orchestrated media event. This other America that they keep showing on the news.
That's because it is.
I know. And it's
And when disasters like Hurricane Harvey happen, it pushes all that out. It's the unplanned event that the media can't ignore.
They can't control it.
They can't control it. And so they have to show what's really happening and what's really going on. But the reality is, outside of the media bubble, this is what happens in the United States.
Yes.
All the time, everywhere.
Everywhere. It's no different. Even like on a micro scale. Sure. Right? Because like, I work with the public and I'm a... You know, I'm the whitest of the white girl, right? But I am.
I disagree.
Okay. But like I help African American people all day long. And we get along and I help them and they're friendly and I'm friendly and we have a good time. And it's like, yay, you know, it's everything.
Yeah, but Brita, how do you treat the white folk? Let's just be honest.
Well, you know.
how do you help those people?
Those people, the white folk.
Call them.
Yeah. But it's so different than what the media is portraying. And Charlie Hebdo today.
Oh, God.
This is a big segue. But Charlie Hebdo, which is the French magazine, or I don't know what the fuck they are. But they're the magazine that militant Muslims came into their offices and killed people because they published a picture of Muhammad, right?
Yes.
So Charlie Hebdo in Paris or France or whatever, a couple years ago, they published a picture of Muhammad or something about Islam and the militant Muslims came in and they were angry and they killed people in the Charlie Hebdo offices. Okay. Because that's how Muslims function, right? So within the past few days, Charlie Hebdo did a cover on their magazine about the hurricane. And have you seen it, Alan?
Yep.
And Weird, I'm assuming
I've
you saw it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And it basically implied, you know, thank God for the hurricane. Or I think the headline was God exists. That was a headline on the cover. God exists. And the cartoon was an image of rain coming down and a bunch of Nazi symbolism and Nazi stuff drowning in a big pool of water. So they're implying that God exists because he sent a hurricane to kill all the neo-Nazis in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I can only imagine that the entire country of France has only, like, believed that there are neo-Nazi, like, giant groups of neo-Nazis in Texas because of the media.
Sure. Everybody that voted for Trump is a Nazi, so therefore all the red states are Nazis.
I don't even understand. They don't know what a Nazi is. Well, France?
You would think France knows.
Probably know.
Yeah, they should know the difference. But it's been a while.
Right.
Maybe they need to get reminded. It looks like Germany's on their way, so we'll see.
Right. But it's just, it's appalling. Like you said, I was paying attention on the internet. Like, okay, so all this heroic stuff is going on in Texas. But then you have, like, the liberal media who is trying, you know, futilely, like, they're trying their hardest to spin it a different way. Even to the extent where, I can't remember what news outlet it was, but they were unable to use the word cowboy.
Oh, yeah. That was like CBS or something.
People on horses are rescuing cattle. No, those are called cowboys. Yeah. Like, literally cowboys. I don't care about your
and we still have them in Texas. Warrior.
Yeah, there's lots of cowboys in Texas. But they found themselves unable to actually use the gender-specific word of cowboy. Like, they live on another planet than the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I really think that this sort of shit is going to get Trump a second term.
Oh, God. Oh, God, yeah.
I really do.
We've had two-term presidents, back to back. And mm-hmm. both of them were lousy and had bad approval numbers. But the bottom line was, why did they get reelected? Was because the opposition just sent just a complete and utter lame duck.
Right.
And so the people just went, well, geez, if it comes to this idiot president that I don't like and this complete and utter goon that hasn't proved themselves in office, guess what I'm going to pick?
Right.
And that absolutely appears to be exactly the way that the progressives are going.
Well, the GOP did it for so many years. So it's, it's the left's turn.
Yeah, I mean, Trump's not going to, he's not going to be doing any better, in 3 years. He's going to keep getting worse and worse and worse, and his approval numbers are going to keep dropping because he's a president. That's how they've all worked.
Right.
But then it's going to be Bernie Sanders pushing a walker. maybe Hillary Clinton's like wax covered Lenin's tomb corpse.
I can imagine Elizabeth Warren like really working on her contour makeup game to like highlight those cheekbones.
By the way, speaking of Ohio, I love the fact that John Kasich is still talking about like, oh, I'm in a primary.
Oh my God. No. He sucks.
And I love all these liberals I know are like, you know what? He makes a lot of sense. He's got some good points. And it's one of those like, yeah, that's why he's not going to win.
Yeah.
They wouldn't vote for him. But like, if given a choice between John Kasich and Elizabeth Warren or John Kasich and Bernie Sanders with a displaced hip or I'm trying to think of like, I don't know. Who's the representative of Houston? Or hell, Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Oh, Kamala Harris.
Kamala Harris. She's yeah.
But like
she's in the running.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz,
Maxine Waters,
like the most unpopular Democrat in like the whole nation, the one that got booed out of the DNC, and they and all the people that think John Kasich is making sense would vote for him over John Kasich, and that's why he's not going to win.
Maxine Waters is like the Nancy Pelosi. She's like the black Nancy Pelosi. She's really like not
I think she's more entertaining.
Well, yes, but she's
Pelosi's
not
just
all
senile.
There. Yes, that's Maxine, what you're saying about Maxine Walters.
Yeah, but Maxine Waters is Maxine. Yeah, Maxine Waters is stupid. I mean, well, she's like really stupid, and she's much more fun. I mean,
how does she feel about Guam?
If the Democrats could run Maxine Waters for president, I would be so happy. Oh my God!
Would you take a Democrat ballot in the primary?
I might. I just might to make that happen. That would be. Oh God! Please, 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 please! Can you see?
Keep talking. Yeah.
Can you see Trump? The debate between Trump and Maxine Waters.
Man. Oh man! That would be some television right there.
That would be one of those ones of just the I cede my time to my opponent. And just give her
you
like everything.
You just keep on
just
talking,
sit there,
Maxine.
Like maybe pull out a bag of popcorn and just start crunching away. In the case of Donald Trump, it would be some McDonald's French fries.
That's how I felt about the what's his face, John Edward and Dick Cheney.
Oh, that was good too.
That was silky so beautiful. Pony. That was beautiful. Oh, that was a great pony. Debate. What happened to him? Is he still alive?
John Edward? Yes, but I think he left the country because the world found out that he was fucking a chick on the side when his wife was dying of cancer.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't turn out well.
Yeah, like even Democrats will cave at some point. Especially when you're a Democrat that like lost to Bush. And then and then got his ass kicked in the primary. Yeah, no, he's just a complete apostate.
That's a good question. I'm going to look that up after the show. Whatever happened to John Edward?
Huh. I know he didn't leave the country. That was the chick that
did he
that
get
John
disbarred?
Kerry was fucking.
Oh, yes, I'm sure he got disbarred.
He's a Democrat.
Yeah, well, they all get disbarred eventually.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, I'm seeing his picture in his Wikipedia page. Oh, let's see. Post Senate activities. Edwards is now a personal injury lawyer in Pitt County, North Carolina.
Oh,
let's see if that's April of 2014. That's a little. That's a little recent for maybe just everyone hates him so much that they didn't bother to write the part about him being disbarred. Oh yeah. No, indictment and trial. they forgot that part. I love the fact that those Wikipedia pages got conflicting information.
He has kind of dropped off the face of the earth, really.
Well, a grand jury indictment will do that to a person.
Nice. Well, I feel like my vote kind of made a difference.
Hey.
Although I didn't vote for Al Gore the first time.
I did too.
Okay.
Because we were both squishy, stupid liberals.
I know.
Man.
And now I'm cheering that his movie's eating shit in the box office, and they won't be letting him make another one.
Oh, I saw a great. Do we want to take a moment to digress a little?
Okay, but we need to get back to our favorite.
Let me just go real quick. Is I wanted to just jump
heroes.
In.
Heroes.
I was about to shit on Massachusetts with the whole like. Oh no, this is the reason why it it's Texas. But I realized that, like, I remember there was news reports saying after the Boston massacre, saying, "Hey, don't go and give blood right now. We're at capacity. Mm. Wait 2 weeks and then go and give blood. If you want to give blood now, wait 2 weeks and go and give blood now because we're at capacity, but we're using it up fast." And so in a couple of weeks, we're going to be running dry and we're going to need more blood. So come back and give then.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, that's kind of how it is now. They're, you know, people do a lot of weird shit when they start, you know, they pull up and they give all kinds of weird stuff to donate, you know. People.
Well, as far as the blood issue is, like, when you donate blood, isn't there like a 2-week expiration date on your blood?
I don't know, but it doesn't last forever. That's for sure.
It doesn't last forever. And they do have back stores of blood. So like they have like a 2-week window of, hey, we have good blood during this 2 weeks. And so maybe they don't want, you know, to be overloaded. And I think I remember after 9/11, everybody was donating blood and they had to throw away blood because they had too much.
Yep.
So, yeah, I don't know what the deal is with that, but I do know that there is like, they have a limited supply of blood and like there's like a 2-week expiration date on blood or something. Anyway, donate blood if you can 2 weeks from now.
And they said, oh, remember when the, that school, where's the school where they got shot up? Supposedly,
Beslan.
No. In like Connecticut, where was the
Newtown?
Yeah. And they got like 3 warehouses full of teddy bears.
Oh,
that they wound up mostly just like
throwing away
because
I know
people sent all this stuff and they're like, well, crap, what do we, you know, we got enough. They gave like every kid in the city 4 or 5 bears and they still had warehouses full of them.
So. Well, you know, I think the best thing to send is probably money.
It is money. I sent money. I gave the Houston SPCA where I got my cats. I gave them a pretty good sized donation. So I know they're trying to deal with an influx of animals. So, and I care about animals a lot more. I care about people. So Screw you. Look, you know, I'm sorry, but there was a lady that got rescued, and I remember, I'll never forget this. She got her oxygen tank, and, you know, God bless her, but they asked her, you know, is this the first time your house has been flooded? And she's like, oh, no, it's the 13th.
My first thought is, oh, my God, the mold. How do you live with that much mold?
If like, your really? House... If
that's probably why she has the oxygen.
Yeah, it might be. The mold invaded her lungs.
Legionnaire's disease.
Yeah.
Jesus.
If your house has flooded 13 times, get the fuck out.
Well, Alan, that's very racist of you.
It's not racist. Anybody can get the fuck out. Anybody can get the fuck out. You just have to have gumption. It's gumptionist. It's not racist.
Gumptionist. It's how gumptionist. Dare you be gumptionist.
Well, you, I'm sorry. If you're going to sit there in the same place that floods year after year after year and don't do anything about it, I'm going to stop caring.
You know? No, my house has flooded once and only once. And it probably like 15 years before we bought it, it flooded a previous time. And so it's one of those like, oh yeah, no, I made some extra steps that like bought a whole bunch of cinder blocks and lifted a whole bunch of stuff off the ground. But other than that, you know, if it starts raining a whole lot, put in a sump pump. If it starts raining a whole lot, I'll start, you know, I'll do a little tidying up before the floodwaters come in. But it's no big deal.
You have a basement though.
Yeah. If this place flooded like every couple of years, oh my God, the amount of shit that I would be doing to make sure that it don't do that anymore.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, put your house on, you know, first is move somewhere else. If you can't move somewhere else, do stuff. I mean, my God. And there's people, they have these, this is funny. Now this is not something the poor people can do. And I understand poor people have a greater burden in natural disasters. They don't have,
of course,
they don't have the resources that everybody else does, but
it's called Darwin.
Yeah, but they can still they don't have to sit there and take it. You know, they can go somewhere else. They go somewhere else all the time. I mean, we're not talking about, these are not people that are housebound, except right. for maybe like the elderly, but you know, these people go out and they do stuff. So they can go out and do stuff. You know, they can go to some other place. The churches were open. Schools were open. All kinds of places were open where you could.
Furniture stores.
Yeah. Furniture stores, grocery stores. I mean, there's all kinds of places.
Yeah.
Hi, you know, go drive your car to a hill or what passes for one and sit there. You know, you don't have to sit in your house and maybe die because you're poor. That said, if you're wealthy, you have a few more options. First off, you can buy a house that's not in a floodplain. Second off, they have these really cool services where they come in and jack your house up off really? The ground. Yes.
But how do you get to your basement?
You know, there aren't any basements in Texas.
That's so weird.
No basements in Texas. There damn sure wouldn't be any basements in Houston because they'd flood.
You'd have a swimming pool all the
time. Yeah, you'd have an indoor pool. But they'll actually come out and jack your house up. And they do it two ways. They can do it temporarily or they can do it permanently. So they come in and they jack your house up. They pile a bunch of cinder blocks underneath it to hold it up. And they go off and do the next house. And then when the storm's over, hurricane season's over, whatever, they come back and they lower it back down. Or once your house is jacked up, you can go, you know what? I think I'll leave it like this. And you build a staircase to your front door.
And like beds with flowers or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
So, you know.
Weird.
But again, you know, Houston is huge. Houston, I think a lot of, because I got calls from people that should know better that are asking me, like, are you okay? I heard Houston drowned or flooded. Are you okay? Did your house flood? I'm like, no. Oh, but I heard everybody in Houston flooded. No.
Everybody. Every Houston, last person.
Houston. Okay. Houston has what? Six. The Houston metropolitan area has over 6 million people in it.
And they're only, all dead
they,
right now.
They only had to.
They all, only, they're all dead. Every they, last one of them.
They now. Only had to rescue like 3,000 or 4,000.
Washed because, out
because,
to sea.
Because the rest are dead. They're not alive anymore. They're not with us. You know, it's sad and terrible. Send FEMA coffins.
I saw an estimate that said 100,000 houses were destroyed. I don't know if I buy that, but that's a number. That's a tiny fraction of the houses in Houston.
Sure.
So
Alan.
Yes.
The whole like northern winter is not looking so bad anymore, is it?
Oh yes, it is. It's awful.
What?
It's cold and gross.
Compared to like a. Hurricane?
Look, okay, hurricanes are easy to survive. You don't live on the coast.
Okay.
If you're, you know, 20 miles inland, hurricanes aren't hurricanes that far in. They stop being hurricanes the minute they leave the ocean, just about. Mm-hmm. And then you don't build your house in a floodplain.
Well, northern winters are easy to survive.
You get snowed on and it's freezing cold no matter where you are.
Yes.
We got these cool things. They're called like sweaters.
Oh my
God. And we don't have to evacuate our houses.
And fleece-lined jeans.
When the glaciers come, I will remind you about evacuating your house.
I think I'll have fair warning.
I don't know. Those glaciers, they move pretty fast. They'll swoop in and You turn around and look and glacier,
predatory glaciers.
That's right. It'll come swooping down and get you before you know it.
Land so we're shark. At the end of the hour.
Are we already? No, we're
yeah,
not. We're not
we
even
are.
Close. We got like 10 more minutes.
Oh, okay. 10 more minutes to the end of the hour. But I wanted really to talk about what was your favorite rescue hero story from the hurricane.
Okay.
Because there are so many and it has taken over the internet, this whole like toxic masculinity theme, which is just charming because, I mean, if you're a person that knows men and appreciates men, you'll see these things on the internet and be like, yep, I know that guy. I know all the guys I know are like that. They will help out. They will do anything to help, and they will rescue people, and they will just do it because that's what they are. And I think it's so, it's lovely to see it like celebrated on the internet when we've seen like this whole like social justice warrior, toxic masculinity bullshit all over the place with the man spreading and the mansplaining and the, you know, whatever else. But if you have been paying attention at all to the hurricane coverage, that you see men all over that are helping their neighbors and they're rescuing people and they're pushing cars out of ditches. And it's wonderful. And again, it's like the media can't compete because people love it. And people say, yeah, this is us.
Yep. There was massive flooding in Houston and they had more help than they could use.
Yeah.
They had people lining up. There's a great picture somebody posted on, like, on Twitter. There's a line of people. It stretched for blocks. And they're like, what are these people lining up for? They line up for food. They line up for help. They're lining up. No, they're lining up to volunteer. They had so many people want to come help. They're having to tell people, no, go back home. Mm-hmm. There was a line. Somebody did a video going down the highway, and there was a line for miles of trucks pulling flat bottom boats coming in from Louisiana and other places to go rescue people from the street flooded streets of Houston.
And there's tons and tons of people out there setting up their barbecue grills and whatever their cooking stuff out there and just cooking food, tons and tons and tons of food. And just walking around and just handing it out to people that are moving these boats and delivering supplies and doing all that. Do you want some tamales?
Oh,
and that was in the video I had with the off the ranch video. He's talking about like people are giving people tamales, and I'm like, I looked up how to make tamales because I'm like, tamales are good. I kind of want to make some.
They're not
and
easy.
Looked to at make. It and saw how to make tamales, and I'm like, I'm not making fucking tamales. That's a lot of food.
I'll
go to the Mexican restaurant down the street if I really want a tamale.
I have a couple of things that I like to think of. One of my favorite, I think the one of the best things, you know, the media and a lot of people like to bash, oh, capitalist business, oh, they're all evil, blah blah blah. Some of the most amazing things that people have done have been like businesses. And if you just listen to the media and you listen to the liberals and, you know, oh, media, they don't care. They're evil, heartless, you know, racist asshole, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're already talking about HEB rolling their fleets of trucks in. Walmart said they had like 800 trucks coming in this week. They got another like 1400 coming in next week loaded with stuff. The furniture store guy. I didn't
even know that HEB like had fleets of trucks, like emergency preparedness trucks. Yeah. I didn't realize. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. And they don't have to do that. That has nothing to do with business. I mean, that's just neighborliness or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, the businesses all over the place. There was a story about a pizza place. What was it? Pizza Hut?
Pizza Hut.
Pizza Hut.
They saw all the flooding and everything, and the Pizza Hut store was not flooded. So they went in, the people that owned the Pizza Hut went in and started making pizzas. They took whatever they had. They started making pizzas, and they sent people out in like kayaks with bags full of pizzas and passed them out to people.
It's amazing.
And, you know, there's a real well-known furniture chain in Houston, Gallery Furniture, and the guys opened up his furniture, these giant warehouse furniture place. It's gigantic. And he's like, come on, we got beds, we got mattresses, we got, you know, y'all come on. And this is like new shit that he was going to sell to people. You know, he's taking a hit in his pocketbook, you know. I mean, sure, he'll write it off, but still, you know, he's letting the unwashed masses of Houston come in and refugee to his furniture store.
Oh, but the media reported that Joe Osteen did not open up his mega church to the public.
Well,
except he did.
Yeah, except he did.
Yeah, they just made that shit up. Somebody, some fucking dipshit told them. And as far as I can tell, he did. And guess what? Who am I gonna believe? Joel Osteen, who I've got no interest in whatsoever, or the media.
Yeah. The other thing that I wanted, it started off, I think the first viral animal rescue story I saw was that picture of the dog carrying the bag of dog food down the street.
Yeah, Otis. Otis with his dog food.
I'm like, that's just awesome. And it's the animal rescues that, you know, there are lots of people called for help. Lots of people, you know, waved down boats and called 911 and came and got rescued. But there are a lot of people that just got in their boat and basically paddled up and down streets, rescuing dogs and cats and, you know, whatever else was left behind. I saw these guys had like one of these like big metal dog cages full of like wet cats. And they were some really pissed off cats. They were not happy, but they were loading them on a boat to take them to a shelter someplace. You know, people, there was a guy coming down, I think it was from Austin, driving this gigantic 60-foot trailer. It's like a dog transport trailer. And he was coming down to pick up animals from the shelters to take them, you know, further away where they could have space for them. And it just, you know, I mean, the animals, I got a soft spot in my heart for animals because, you know, they you know, they're just kind of stuck. They don't get a say.
Mm-mm.
So that was my favorites.
You got anything, Brita?
Well, one of my favorite stories is about an elderly couple that they were trying to ride out the flooding in their neighborhood, but then the first floor of their house started filling up with water and they didn't know what to do. So they called for help, but they called the Chick-fil-A that they would go to this Chick-fil-A all the time. And also like they'd call the Chick-fil-A to get, you know, to put their order in or whatever. But, you know, this local Chick-fil-A knew who this elderly couple was. And so they called the Chick-fil-A for help. And this picture is viral on the internet, if you want to Google it. So basically the woman calls up and she calls up. She wants like two chicken burritos with extra egg and a boat. And she puts her order in for a boat. And so she talks to the manager, and I guess the manager arranged for her husband and like another guy to come rescue this elderly couple from their house. And so these two people from Chick-fil-A show up at these people's house in jet skis. And the jet skis go into these people, you know, they go into the living room and they pick up this old lady and they pick up the husband and they jet ski the couple out of their house. And I just loved that because it was like, it was so kind of like small scale. Like, it reminds me of the people who come in the library every day, you know, that I know who they are and they know me. And it's like, if they called me for help, I would help them. And I think of those people in the Chick-fil-A and they're probably like, oh, Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, they're flooded out and they're stuck in their house. We have to help them. And it's like this this beautiful little kind of story of, you know, just a local business and a local family. And I don't know, it just really, I don't know, it's beautiful. I don't know. And again, it's, you see the pictures from the story and there is a mix of races. There's a black guy, there's a white guy, there's a white woman, there's a black guy, you know, it's like, and nobody cares because they're all in it together. And that's what we are. And I don't know. I can't stress that enough. It's like looking at through two different lenses, you know, in the media. It's like you see these stories out of the hurricane in Texas and you look at that and you're like, yeah, that's what we are. That's the reality I live in. And then you see this other thing that is like kind of orchestrated and weird and fractured. And you think, where is this happening? This is not how I live. And that's not how anybody I know lives. You know what I mean? I don't know. So that's where we're at. I hate to think that it took a giant hurricane in Texas for the entire country to kind of like shake off what has been happening.
Yeah, they're not going to shake it off, unfortunately, because...
No, I know they're not, because...
that's the whole reason why the news media is kind of going nuts about, like, making up fake stories and all that. Yeah. Is they're throwing a temper tantrum because people are looking at the other direction. They're like a shitty magician trying to do a steal, and they keep watching his other hand. No. Watch this hand. Right. Watch this hand. No, we don't want to watch this hand. We know that other hand is up to something. And that's right. What's going on right now. There's like, no. We want to hear about the flooding in Houston. And they're like, no, there's Nazis somewhere. The Trump fired a bunch of people from his cabinet. There's all this stuff, you know, somebody wrote a swastika on poop in, you know, Berkeley.
Do Nazis even really exist? I mean, it's like the boogeyman, really.
I'm sure there's a couple, but I mean, the bottom like, line is all this, whoa. All this talk about the group. That's why I was also, why I was pointing out in the last show about the fact that, you know, are these white supremacist groups, or is this George Soros buying actors?
Mm-hmm. It's George
and
Soros.
I gotta
buying
say
actors.
Is when, what's his face? I'm not even going to give his name. I can't remember his name. Fuck him. The dude that shot up the church in South Carolina. Oh, yeah. When he wanted to play all Nazi genocide and kill all the black folk, he went on all of these online forums that are the hotbeds for these white supremacist, racist sons of bitches.
Right.
And he could find nobody who was willing to go weapons hot and kill all the black people.
Right.
You know, if there were actual Nazis or actual Klansmen left in America, there would be at least some booger eating dipshit that'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm quitting my job at the, you know, at the McDonald's, and I'm going to drive across the country to go hang out with you and buy guns and go shoot black people.
It really reminds me of, and I can't, it was during the occupation, you know, Occupy, the
Insert
Occupy.
City here,
Wall
yeah.
Street or wherever.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
But I remember in Cleveland, they arrested a couple of guys for plotting to bomb something.
I remember that.
And it turned out that they didn't even like think of this plan themselves.
No, they were imbeciles.
No. It was like they inserted an FBI guy or a CIA or a whatever to like encourage them. Hey, you want to bomb a thing? And hey, let's go bomb a thing. And lo and behold, these guys get arrested.
Well, that was the big thing in the 60s with all these like 60s radical groups.
Right, but I think it's like the
FBI mold would be like, hey, we could get a whole bunch of money if we robbed a bank. And the ATF guy would be like, could get a whole bunch of money. We could be even more powerful if we converted these guns to machine guns.
Right, exactly. I think they're still kind of operating the same.
Yeah, the big thing we've got now is they go on these fucking dipshit boards, and they find somebody who's probably got a, you know, a double digit IQ, like, not even joking. Literally, I think most of the people I've got here are probably on the, definitely on the, you know, on the mentally disabled level. And they go, "Hey, do you want to kill the white interlopers for Allah?" "Yeah, of course I want to do that." "Cool. Here," and they give them bomb schematics, and they give them all this, and they give them a van filled with Play-Doh and a garage door opener and all that stuff. And then they have them drive the van to like a Christmas celebration. And when he pushes the garage door opener, oh, there we go. He was trying to trigger the explosives, and then they arrest him.
Right.
And this guy is, I mean, in some cases, actually, there have been actually some cases where the people that have been patsies for this have been quite literally, you know, mentally retarded.
Yes, they are.
And you know, but in the case of the other ones, they're more than likely, if they aren't mentally retarded, they're just on the other side of it. They just barely graded out. They're the person that's like, what is it? They're 4'7". Sorry, you don't get to be a little person. Or whatever the heck the size limit for where you go from being just really, really short to being a little person to being disabled. But they would not have been able to do anything had not the FBI fed them, the spoon fed them how to be a terrorist.
Right.
And it's one thing if it's, you know, it's one thing if it's ISIS or the Taliban or some other actual terrorist group is doing that,
because those people are dangerous.
Guess what? I guarantee this. There's no suicide bomber who would have done well in their SATs. I mean, that's all they do. But again, if it's actual terrorists actually recruiting people, all right, now you can work on them. But when you're doing exactly what the terrorists do, you're not helping.
Yeah.
But it sure looks good on your record.
Yeah. Well,
it sure looks good on national news when they say they arrested this potential terrorist.
Yep.
And then when you look at the site, you realize that this person was a potential terrorist. This person was, this is entrapment.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. Exactly. Maybe not exactly.
No, pretty exactly.
I don't know the exact definition of entrapment.
Entrapment. I'm not a lawyer, but it's entrapment is when they
don't mansplain. Ask Brita. Brita's a lawyer.
I don't know.
Brita went to law school.
No. I'm only a notary.
the definition of the legal definition of entrapment is very strict. For a reason. And these guys are experts at getting around that.
Yeah. But Brita, just so you know, notaries, trust me, I'm a doctor.
What?
I know that a notary makes work.
I'm not a lawyer. I can't.
Well, I am a doctor for anyone that's
curious. Okay. Mm-hmm. Dr. Weird.
Okay. So the official definition, the official legal definition of entrapment, is a practice whereby law enforcement agents induce a person to commit a criminal offense the person would have otherwise been unlikely to commit.
Oh, holy shit.
Well, that's a gray area. I got that fucker on the nose. Yeah, but that's a gray area.
Yeah, it is gray. Unlikely. That's the problem. How do you prove it's otherwise unlikely to commit?
Mm-hmm.
If you lock an honest preacher in with a hooker and she takes advantage of him, that's probably entrapment.
Especially on top of this, again, my little daughter's sleeping upstairs right now. You trust me, I'm not on the side of these motherfuckers. But again, when you got a dude chatting online and he's chatting with little Susie, who's 9 years old.
Right.
And they're talking all sorts of dirty.
Right.
And then they show up. He shows up at the mall where he's going to do all sorts of dirty things to little Susie, who's 9 years old. And little Susie was a 47-year-old male cop.
That is not entrapment.
And evidently it's not entrapment, but at the same time, there are people that are fucking 9-year-old little Susie right now. And 9-year-old little Susie's a 47-year-old housewife But guess what? She puts on pigtails.
This show is taking a weird turn.
I'm just saying.
Well, I guess the difference is that the guy talking to the cop actually believes.
Yeah.
Maybe it does. Nice. Maybe it doesn't. It's a 47-year-old man talking dirty to a perv. How does he know that it's not?
You know what? I'm going to.
I'm gonna
air with the cops. If you're the kind of person that they can talk to online and convince to meet up with an obviously underage kid for the purposes of having sex,
that's true.
I'm siding with the cops. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just don't like it. I just don't like it when the crime is being manufactured by the cops. I get you on that, Alan. And I think somebody that doesn't swing that way wouldn't do it. When it's a cop dressing up as a hooker, the cops should be finding the little kids that are getting targeted. The cops should be finding the hookers and watching to see who's going after them. And the bottom line is we should be going after the dudes going after little kids, but we should be making prostitution legal. Cause hey, guess what? It happens all the time. But hey, guess what? When the bitch laughs at your jokes and lets you buy her drinks all night and then has sex with you, it's no different than you just gave her the cash for the drinks.
Okay. I'll take the cash.
Done. let me go get my wallet.
All right.
And on that note,
Brita will laugh at your stupid jokes as long as you pay her.
I will.
Yep.
It's true.
Yeah, there you go. She gets paid for a lot worse at the library, let me tell you.
Oh my God.
And if you ask nicely, she'll let you hold her leg.
Only the special people. Only if you're cute.
Hey, I'm cute. By the way, I'm cute. I'm awfully
adorable. You are cute.
And on that note.
Because otherwise I would have been murdered by now for my being.
We will be back next week.
Yes.
Hopefully with the full compliment.
Yeah. Oh. It'll be all the brown people.
Yeah. Yeah, we were a little less diverse this week. Weird. Yeah.
Jay actually was in Arizona, so he should be extra brown.
Yeah.
He should be.
We've got one more and one Pacific Islander.
What?
And the token height honky.
Who's a Pacific Islander?
Me.
The guy that was born in fucking Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Hawaii. That's right.
Jesus Christ, Brita.
I forgot. Yep. Oh, that's funny.
Alan, what does poi taste like?
Poi is disgusting.
I've heard it's really
is
bad.
It? It is nasty. Oh my God, it's awful. I don't know why.
I don't even know what it is.
It's taro root.
It's a root that they pulp into a mushy mush thing and then scoop it up and eat it. It is repulsive.
Cream of wheat kind of texture?
It's not that good.
Oh,
I remember seeing like a video of like a Hawaiian luau back when I was like a little kid and seeing the poi and just, it looked like purple pudding. And I thought, oh, that looks so good. And then for the rest of my life, hearing people tell about how disgusting poi is,
it is.
I would just be like, oh man, that's kind of fucked up because it looks like purple pudding.
That's too bad. It is nasty.
More like lavender.
And that's why they'll say I'm not a true Islander because, you know, I don't really care for spam, and because everybody knows all Pacific Islanders love them some spam. And,
what is wrong with you? It's like
spam. Oh, wait, Alan, are you getting in a no true Scotsman fallacy?
Yeah, apparently.
Fuck you and your racism, Alan.
It's spam.
Yeah,
hey,
like it.
Guess Delicious. What? Charlie Hebdo is right. All people from Texas are racists.
I don't like spam. But man, Hawaiians love them some spam. And that's not
because it's fucking delicious. That's why.
Spam's pretty good.
It's
not my most favorite thing in the world. I don't go out of my way to get spam. There's a whole bunch of horrible shit that like oh, no, no, like every couple of months, it's been like, oh, man, it's been a while since I've had like biscuits with sausage gravy. I think it's time to go buy some sausages and make some biscuits with sausage gravy. There's a time and a place for everything. Spam. Yeah, it's been at least 15 years since I've had a piece of spam. But the last time I had spam
today.
Did you eat spam today?
I ate spam
today. God fucking bless you, Brita. Tell me about your spam.
Well, my
Did you ever have breakfast?
No, I had it for lunch. I make these little
It's appropriate. You follow the directions kind of.
How do I explain it? Kind of like sushi sandwiches.
Yep.
Where I take a piece of seaweed and I put a little bit of rice and then I put my fillings in. I put a little bit more rice. And
what's
then
that sushi called?
They're like sushi balls. Yeah, but I made them. There's, I made it with specific spam. They're delicious. So I ate spam today. And I think I ate spam yesterday too.
Spam musubi.
Well, no, I think it's onigirazu. I don't know how to speak Japanese, but they're like little kind of sushi sandwiches with the seaweed on the outside and rice and then fillings on the middle, and they're delicious. So I had spam and fermented carrots on the inside of my sandwich today.
Did you ferment the carrots yourself?
I did.
Of course you did.
Of course. They were carrots and ginger and hot peppers. Ooh. And garlic. They're delicious.
Fuck yeah. Sign me up.
Super good.
Be over in a few minutes.
Okay.
Or hours. Or I'm going to go to bed.
Okay.
Well, it's that time.
It is.
It is. It is time to say goodnight to the internet.
I actually goodnight, think internet. Our audience had a little bonus this evening.
Oh, is it a little extra long?
A little extra squirrel port this evening.
What was the current time, Alan?
Folks?
1 hour, 16 minutes and 56, 57, 58, 59. Shit. 1 hour, man. 17 minutes.
I think, man, there's some
people that are just like downloading in their pants.
Do we get overtime for this?
Sure, yes, we why do. Not?
Time and a half. It's union.
And zero Brita, times
may,
zero.
May I admonish you for not taking the smoke break?
What?
The union shop rules say you are mandated to every 45 minutes to take a smoke break.
Well, I will work on that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, good night.
Required by law.
All right. Good night, Internet.
All right. See you next week.
Hey, bye. Keep your feet dry.
Okay.